Now follow along as we read chapter 10 in the Gospel of St. Mark, this story that is just a great story about blind Bartimaeus, a man that could not see, and yet the Lord God sent his son to him and blessed him. And in context, this story comes from roughly verse 25, talking about how difficult it is for people that trust in their riches to get into heaven. And the audience is shocked, and they say, well, who can go to heaven then? They said, well, what's impossible with man is possible with God. So then they start walking along the road with him, and he's already told them, it's recorded five times, that he's going to die, that he will end up going to Jerusalem and be murdered. And while they hear this and they know this, they still are talking about power. He said, what were you talking about on the road? They're embarrassed because they're talking about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. It was all about self. So he dealt with that. And they're in line and ready to get their lives straight. But now Jesus is headed towards the crucifixion. He's just not too many miles away now from Jerusalem. And so if you would follow me as I pick up this story, Mark 10, verse 46. Now, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, and his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that he cried out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, Hey, be of good cheer, rise up, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, if you'd underline that, please, throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, and there's that word immediately that we've seen so often, he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Now in good journalism, it's usually who, where, what, why, when, sometimes how. And all those questions are written without saying them by a good journalist, and they're answering the questions that you would ask. Well, who was this? Where did it happen? Why did it happen? How did it happen? When did it happen? Those are good writing period for people to say everything that they want to say in this story. And in this story, we have this good journalism. We have here where it happened, number one, Jericho. So we see that right at the very beginning. They came to Jericho. Jericho is east of Jerusalem. And you all know the story of Joshua fought the battle at Jericho. They walked around the city seven times. The walls fall down. Well, all the enemies of Israel for centuries knew the stories of the walls falling down. So Jericho is a very beautiful place. It's full of palm trees, figs, dates, adobe-type homes. Yasser Arafat and some of his friends a few years ago before he died built this big out-of-place casino in Jericho. It looks very bizarre. But the Palestinians pretty much control the area of Jericho now. And sometimes you can be there and other times you can't be there. Now who? We know where. It's taking place around Jericho. It tells us in that verse that he went out of Jericho with his disciples, those 12, and those that were his disciples because of those 12. And secondly, a great multitude. Who went? This big crowd, hundreds of people, like we saw yesterday at Linda Vista. Chaz Yandel was standing by the street waiting for me to arrive, and there was cars blocked up because the traffic was a little bit blocked up, and said, is this a rummage sale? Because there were tents. We had tents all over this huge park up there. And one tent was just for free clothing. Now, this is very unique. When they brought bags from here, bags and bags of clothing that all of you have donated, I mean hundreds of them, They piled them up, and then they started sorting them out. And from morning to night, it looked like the piles of clothes never went away, though we gave out thousands of pieces of clothing. He just kept multiplying it. They ran out of food. We were serving hot dogs, hamburgers, hot food. We were giving dental work, chiropractic work, whatever. All sorts of things going on. But the food thing, the people at the food line, those of you who were serving, and I thought this was a great story, had to tell the crowd they're out of food, totally out of food. No way to feed the rest of you. So everybody's ready to leave. So one person said, well, just a minute, lifted up a towel over one of the heating pans, and it was chock full of hamburgers that were cooked in ready to go. And they were out of hamburgers, so they just went with it. Do you know the hamburgers kept flowing the rest of the day? It's like the Lord just kept slipping in these burgers from, if In-N-Out's missing anything, we don't know how it happened, but he did it. It was great. So we got disciples, great multitude, and now we got the center star, center stage, and blind Bartimaeus. Now, those of you that know your Bible know when you see the word bar, B-A-R, doesn't mean you're going in for a drink. It means son of. They always put son of, and then they tell you who it is. It's interesting that in this scripture, they actually teach you how to understand this. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. So I call this blind Bart. Bart had a dad named Timothy. Timaeus. Tim. Everybody in Jericho knew Timaeus, the house of Timaeus, Bar, the son of Timaeus. They knew him as being blind and a beggar. The question I raise is, how do people tag you? If somebody is talking about you, what do they say about you? For Tim's son, they would say he's poor and he's a beggar and he's a blind man and he can't get a job. There's not much that you can do with this guy. He's a beggar. And it tells us that when he heard, Bartimaeus heard, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Underline that word, he heard. Some people can see, but they can't hear. Some people can hear, and they can't see. Some people have perfect eyes and perfect ears. They don't see or hear. They're so into themselves. The rest of the people in this room is just a blur to them. It's all about them. It's all about them at the mall. It's all about them wherever. This is what Bartimaeus is going to teach us. That even though you have a handicap, and all of us have a handicap of sin, for the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. And we are going to be accountable. The Bible says that each man and woman will stand alone before God to give an account of themselves. So otherwise, when you die, there's a history. We're told there's books in heaven. And we know with a thumb drive, there could just be one just on your life. And everything you ever said, did, or thought is right there. And God can roll your life back. And Paul the Apostle said that everyone will be judged according to their works. And they'll have a chance for their own defense. So you stand there, but he said, you'll be judged according to the gospel that I preach. And you'll say, well, God, I did that because da-da-da-da. And the gospel will be the litmus test. But yet, my son's word said this. And you were living like this. You see? There's a responsibility. Blind Bartimaeus, with his handicap, became able to take another area of his life and acutely use it. He was sharp. All the people going from Jerusalem to Jericho, all the people going up the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, he heard about the politicians. He heard about King Herod building a palace. Just go down the road a little further, turn right at Jericho, go past the Dead Sea on the right side, go up into the mountains, and he's got this palace built up there. He heard about what the Sanhedrin was doing. He heard about the Passover feast, people coming and going, what's the price of silver? What's the price of gold? He says nothing. He's a poor man. You look at him right now, he's got this old ragged jacket on him. Now, we all have in San Diego gotten off the freeway, and we see somebody standing there, will work for food. San Diego Police Department and other agencies tell us that these people, those signs, make $200 or more a week by just panhandling because nobody can give them a job. The light just turned green, so they throw $3 at them, or $2, or 50 cents, or $20. They aren't really looking for a job. Some are honest and say, out of beer, give me $1, you know, something like that. I've seen those guys. I like those guys, though I just give them a little Bible instead. It starts with a B, I tell them, just enjoy it. So now you got the picture. You're walking along the crowd. Here we are, a big crowd of people. We're with Jesus, his disciples. We're feeling good. We're on our way uphill. We're going to Jerusalem. And we think we might have saw a beggar or something over there. He didn't catch our attention. But he heard something that he didn't hear a lot. He picked up bits and pieces of people. Yeah, up there at Sea of Galilee, about 80 miles away, this Jesus of Nazareth was giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, and he's raising people from the dead. Amazing. I heard he's coming down here. He picked up bits and pieces. But I want you to look closely at what this man really heard. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Son, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." He knew who it was by the scripture. Now, the question you have to raise is, well, how did he know the Old Testament that a Messiah would come? And he would come from the lineage of David. And he'd come out of Bethlehem. And why would he cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," unless he knew the scriptures that the Son of David, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would have mercy on people? You know, the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for you shall receive mercy." There isn't one of us that leaves today that should not give mercy to somebody that we've got an axe to grind with. To just forgive them, let it go. God's given you mercy, so don't hang on to some issue with another person that you were right, they were wrong, and that's why the spat's going on. Blessed are the merciful. So he cries out, "Have mercy on me." Now Jesus said, or Paul the apostle said, that there will be many Jesuses. Jesus even warned, "Many will come in my name." But this was the one that he had heard about, Jesus of Nazareth. And he cried out. He didn't cry out when somebody went by selling something. He was quiet. The other day I was in Tijuana and I was getting my green card renewed and was coming down out of the immigration department. And I actually do have a green card like Mexicans come to America. I go there, so I have a green card that Mexico City renews for me every year that I'm a minister and that I'm preaching, because you're not allowed to be preaching in Mexico, but I have a green card. So I go renew this thing. And here's all these poor people. And they're all winding their way to the fence for the people walking into America. Some have no legs. Some have an arm missing. They have their cup out there. Their clothes are all dirty. Now think of this. Get the picture. You've all seen this before. If you and I say, let's go down to La Jolla Shores. And we're at La Jolla Shores and we're going to paddle out. And there's a guy asking for money. He's got his sign. "We'll work for food." He's got a fairly new Porsche, 911 Carrera, standing there right next to him. He's got an alligator briefcase in one hand. He's got an $800,000 suit on with a really great necktie. And his shoes are polished and he just looks great. You're not going to give that guy anything. But if he changes his outward appearance and looks like he's down and out, you may consider it. Maybe because of guilt or some other reason, but you may consider giving that poor person something. This guy cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He knew the scriptures. He knew the prophecies. Had he seen it one time and been able to read? How many people do you know that are in a state today lesser than they were a year ago or 2 years ago? They've gone backwards in their lives. They're drinking more. They're partying more, they're swearing more, whatever. They're just like they just aren't their old selves because of circumstances. Somebody had to read the scrolls daily to this guy so that he could get all the Torah into his heart. He knew a Messiah would come, and he knew from the stories he had heard, though he'd never seen, that this was the Son of David. So he cries out, "The great thing that Jesus has for all of us, have mercy on me." And many warned him. They got in his face and said, hey, shut up, be quiet. But he cried out even more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm not going to let these people stop me from getting to you. Have mercy on me. Now, this is the needle prick. This is the stab. This is the rub you the wrong way that make people anti-church, anti-Christian. Because maybe as you were a little girl, a little boy, you knew what was right. But then your body changed and you became active as a human being through your school years and you made some mistakes. Nevertheless, there could have been a time or more than one time you went to the quote-unquote church. You saw the pastor, you talked to the priest. And when you're trying to get your heart out and just cry out like this man, something in the Sunday school or in a youth group or the minister's message or something just turned you off. It stopped you. No, you can't do that here. We don't do that here. We don't allow that here. You're going to have to change. The church isn't here to change people. The church is us. It's to love one another and to serve one another and then to reach out into the parks and get the people that don't know Jesus. I mean, some of the Muslim people yesterday just said, this is wonderful. People loving people from this church. That's a great testimony for them to take back to the mosque down the street where some of the pilots and some of the people from the planes attended that went into the Twin Towers. That you are known as loving people, that you care for your community, that you reach out with what you have found with Jesus. Now, something comes and blocks like, hey, be quiet. No, you can't stand up. Hey, get out of the way. It could be simply that liturgy blocked you. You'd go and you'd sit there and you had no idea what they were saying. You know, you didn't do all the right things at the right holidays. Some people get Lent mixed up with fasting. They say, well, just fast from television. That's Lent. Fasting is going without food. Jesus didn't give up television when he went for 40 days and 40 nights. He went to kill his flesh in the desert. Well, I'm fasting this week. What are you doing? I'm only smoking 3 cigarettes a day instead of 6. Really? Whoa, man, I'm proud of you. No, you throw the pack away. Say, I'm dying here, Lord. And he says, that's what it's all about. Die to that flesh. And this man must have been a little discouraged. Don't ever let man block you from what you want to say to God. He cried out all the more. He wasn't going to be quiet because he said, you can't talk about God. You know, you go to school and you can't mention Jesus' name in school. You can't get a football team together and in the name of Jesus pray in the locker room. You'll get in big trouble. You can't open up the Bible in the classroom and actually read it to the other students. A pastor just got arrested in Hemet, California for standing in a DMV parking lot reading the Bible at 7 in the morning out loud to people that were 50 feet away. They arrested him, handcuffed him, put him in the highway patrol car, took him away. There's no law that says he couldn't do that. That's how adamant people are against what we're discussing here this morning. This man was not blocked by somebody. I hear that Jesus is in the neighborhood. The doctors have never helped me. Money has never helped me. I've never had the right medicine. I am standing up because I hear this man will help me. And so, no, you can't bother him. Get out of here and be quiet. So stop and hear me. That's basically what he's saying. Hear me, please, Jesus, hear me. And I'd like you to understand the power of his words. Verse 49 before you go home. Would you read the first four words of that verse? So Jesus stood still. What power you have to cry out to God, and he'll stop everything he's doing just to help you. There isn't a situation or a problem, no matter if you're stoned out of your gourd right now or what condition you are in, that God won't stop everything just to save your soul and to answer your cry. Jesus stood still. With hundreds of people around him, the beggar caught his attention more than anybody. And Jesus stood still, and he used a very strong word there in verse 49. He commanded him to be called. Commanded him. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, oh, be happy, be of good cheer. Rise up, get on your feet, buddy. He's calling you. What hypocrites? Don't you see people like that all day at work, you know? They say, we're hypocrites, but, you know, hey, don't bother him. What did he say? Oh, the boss said, get him. Oh, hey, come on, man. Look, hey, don't tell him that I told you you shouldn't be crying out, but, you know, he's calling you. Be happy. Boy, how quickly personalities can change if it benefits them. They should have said, sir, there's hundreds of people. I know you're hurting. You want to talk to him. Can we minister to you? No, I got to see him. No, come on. I can help you out. What do you need? Some sight? Let me pray for you. No, they wanted evangelism. Okay, let me run up and at least ask Jesus if he can talk to you right now. Nobody did that. They just said, no. How mean and how harsh. But his words stopped Jesus so that he stood still. Jesus had an ear that heard a specific plea in a huge crowd. I encourage you, aim at the target. Go for the bullseye. Just start crying out to heaven and watch the blessings of heaven pour out upon you. Start crying out to God and asking him to help you. Watch all the help that comes your way. Start crying out to the Lord Jesus in his name and let the Holy Spirit just wipe away all the problems you have. And let God work in your life. And be willing to stand up in the midst of the crowd, even with all the lack you may have. So, God listens and he hears you, just like he did this man. But there is some hypocrisy among these people, men pleasers. The Apostle Paul said for people that have jobs, don't be men pleasers, giving eye service. Oh, here comes the boss. Quick, let's look like we're busy. He says, don't do that. That's sinful. Stop and hear me out, Jesus. And look what he said here. And throwing aside, he said, rise up. In verse 50, underline this, throwing aside his garment, he rose up and came to Jesus. Now, what was his garment? As I mentioned, if we were down at La Jolla Shores, we wouldn't give anything to a guy with a Porsche and fancy suit. But the garment was, I'm a poor beggar sitting here on the side of the road. I got this old blanket and it's dirty and it's got footprints on it. And it's ripped, it's torn, it's tattered. And I'm wrapped in this. I'm sitting there, I got my cup out. You can see my eyes are weird. My garment. But when Jesus called him, he threw it off. And I'm going to ask you today to throw off the garment of who you try to project yourself as being to the rest of the people of this city. Some people have garments of, I'm a tough guy. You know, they buy these tank tops that just so they can show off their biceps. And I'm a tough guy. And I'm really, what time is it? Well, let's see, it's about 4 o'clock. Yeah, about 4 o'clock. You know, that's their persona. That's their garment. Or tattoos. You got this, you know, a guy in the middle of the winter's walking around in short shorts because his legs are all tattooed. You know, and just say, nobody dresses like that. So the garment is, this is who I am. A lot of people wear the cool garment or the angry garment. Some wear the men pleaser garments. Other people have different things. They cloak themselves in poverty. Oh, I'll never amount to anything. Oh, I never went to school. Anybody can go to school. I don't have it in me. Yes, you do. That'll never happen for me. Just like Eeyore. This is a pretty day. You know, everything's just so down and gray. But with this, throwing that garment off, you think of people that they have their garment. They're cloaked in wealth. And they've got the rings and the watches. Ooh, all the bling. And this bling is saying, I am somebody. You know, my address is, I have a 6-car garage. And what I pull out of that garage, all is part of the garment. Showing people something that you want to be. That you know. Some have a sex garment. They're so full of lust. That sex is just, everybody knows their reputation is that they are hooked. Some have business garment. Yes, I'm very astute here, and I roll all my letters together, and I have quite an education, and I'd like to tell you about that, of just how wonderful I am and how smart I am this morning and intelligent. And you know, and they wrap themselves in these garments, and we say, we're not happy with who we are. We've done all the changes to our body, but some have a garment of adultery, or I don't care, I don't pay my bills. That's the garment. But today, if you'll throw your garment off and you'll admit you have an issue, you see yourself that you're really on the sidelines. You're not in the main game. You're not first string anymore. You've been knocked down, punched down. You've been discarded. When you lose influence, you're discarded. Nobody cares about you. You're not an advocate for anything. Nobody's going to care what you have to say. That's him. So when you're in that position, you just sort of change your life and say, well, I'll retreat from life. You know, I'll just have my family around me, a couple people I trust, but nobody else is going to get into this life. You have this garment of isolationism. Some people have a garment of excess weight. Psychologists and psychiatrists say that many times that we put these garments around us to cover up the hurt that happened to us when we were children. You can be hiding anywhere, but God sees you like he sees this man out of a great multitude, and he cares so much for you. He loves you. And he wants you to have the best. You have issues. You got a problem. You feel like you've been knocked down. You feel like you've been pushed aside. You've been used, abused, confused. You're out of the game. You have no influence. You're discarded. You're just sitting there. But you hear that Jesus is coming and Jesus works miracles. You come to Jesus with as little as you know and as little as you have, like blind Bart, and he will take care of you. Cast aside that garment. I don't know if you've ever read Jude before. It's only one page. But in verse 20, 21, and 22, he talks about the end of the world and basically how demons will come and possess people, and there will be a sexual revolution, and that being sensual will be the thing in the last era before Jesus comes back. Possessing humans to use their flesh to do things that Paul said were unseemly. We know that judgment is near just because of that, because we're there. But he said this. He said, after putting all this picture together of what it would be like, with some people have compassion, making a difference or a distinction. So you know the truth. You build yourself up, Jude said, in the truth, and you share that with others. But some people, you have to win them with fear, snatching the garment out of the fire that spots their flesh. You throw the garment off. You're honest with yourself. God can now work in your life. You let God do the job. What do you want me to do? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will open. Ask and you shall receive. That's what do you want me to do? I'm here all day and night. What do you want me to do? Be yourself. Don't try to compete. Don't try to live up to the standards of this world. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will raise you up in due time. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. You are his children. And if you don't want to talk to him, it breaks his heart. He wants to hear from you. Jesus said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy could be full. And what a time to be holding something called joy, to be happy. But it's full. It's not quantity. It's the quality of your joy. It's full. Let it all go into his arms and let him love you. Rabboni literally translates, my great one. You're the greatest. I want to receive my sight. And he touched him. And verse 52, the final verse says that Jesus said to him, go your way. What do you want me to do? He did it. Go your way. Please underline and note, he didn't say, go my way. He said, go your way. You have freedom to be an artist, a painter, a stenographer, a judge, a lawyer, a football player, a dancer, whatever you want to be. Go your way. But go with him inside of you. And let him make the way for you. And I find it so interesting that he's probably headed in the right direction. Jesus, son of David, you're going the right way already, buddy. Get back into the game. Come on, get off the sidelines. Stand up. Do something with your life. And then Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Notice he didn't say, my faith has made you whole. But your faith has made you whole. what power we have as clay vessels, human beings, that we can have faith that can release us from bondage. You have it in you right now. You might be blind. You might be deaf. It's in you. Your faith in Christ will be released and he will bless you. But the second power you have today, you have prayer power. Cry out to his name and he will stop what he's doing. And he'll say, Mike, quit whining all the time. I got somebody over here that needs more help than you. And he will come to you. He will love you. He will wrap his arms around you. And immediately, he saw. 10 chapters worth of immediately. The gospel in Jesus, when it comes in contact with people, it immediately works. And it says he sees. And look at the last verse. He sees. And immediately, he received his sight. And what did he do? He followed Jesus on the road. Jesus didn't say, pick up your cross, come after me. Jesus didn't say, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He said, go to your life. Find your life. And this man found his life in Jesus. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth to love other people and to be like you. So I encourage you today. Jesus sees you on the roadside. Other people have discarded you because you don't have money anymore. You're not famous anymore or whatever. Follow Jesus. He did go his own way in one way, but he didn't go the worldly way. He followed Jesus. There's no note or any sidebar anywhere in any scrolls or any historical documents on Mark's writing that Tim's son, Bart, ever picked up that old garment again. You don't have to go back to your weaknesses. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's got it all waiting for you. It's all in your hands now. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, we're very, very grateful that you are so humble as the King. And with all that crowd and all those disciples, those students around you, everyone missed Bartimaeus. And yet you heard him cry out. There's hundreds of people in this gymnasium, and even hundreds, if not thousands more, on the internet and on the radio network, that they need to hear you. But we pray you'd hear their cry. And if church, pastor, priest, deacon, elder, liturgy has blocked a heart here today, may they just say, I forgive all that, but I just want Jesus. Would you free him this hour? Lord God, we pray that you would honor every house that is here, every home, every family. We've spoken about many people in different situations to pray for. Just a handful that I know, Lord. And we know that in this crowd, there are literally thousands of people we could spend all week praying for if everybody came up here and told the story. So help them feel part of you, part of your body, part of your family. And may they grow in you like this man, that he had disability, yet he knew the word. He knew the scriptures. He knew what to look for in his heart, though he couldn't look for it in Jericho. May you bless these young men and women, that they would make decisions today to surrender to you, that they would be the next generation of leaders in San Diego and the United States of America. Lord, that hearts that the world is tugging on would surrender and say, no, I'm not going that way. I'm following Jesus. I'm going with Jesus. Now may you bless and honor them for even coming to a service to hear about your son. May you honor them. I would ask, Father, that even as they enter their condominium, their apartment, their home, you'll send angels there right now, and there will be a spiritual essence they haven't felt before. May your peace be with these people. May your angels stand between them and the devil's groups that come after them, the fiery darts that are shot at them, the mean things said to them, the hurts. And those that are facing mountains, give them the faith to say, be gone, and Jesus, remove these horrible problems that are in this room right now. And God, we just tell you right now, we're sorry that we're blind to you sometimes. And we're sorry that we get on the outsides of your kingdom and we're just beggars in reality. But help us throw this cloak off of self and let us deny ourselves and follow Jesus. I pray now, God, that your face would shine. Nobody would hide from you or duck you, but they leave their cloaks behind, the garments of who they've tried to look like, and let them be free in Jesus' name. And as their heads are bowed and we're in closing prayer, I know there are many of you that would like to be free from that old garment. And I'd like you to pray right now this prayer. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins and that you would cleanse me of the unrighteousness in my life. And Father, I pray, have mercy on me because I have not done everything in a holy way. I believe this hour that Jesus died on the cross specifically for my sins. And Jesus, I ask you to be the Lord of my life, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for stopping and listening and loving me. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, those of you that prayed that prayer, would you just look up at me and hold your hand up? I'd like to remember this afternoon. God bless you, 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 you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. A daddy. And a daughter. And over here on my right, yes, ma'am. One, two, three of you right there. Four of you right over here. God bless you. On my right, yes, I see you in the striped blouse there. Yes, sir. Gentleman in the white shirt. Yes, sir, in the brown shirt. Yes, ma'am, I see you. Yes, ma'am. And the little guy here, hey, good to see you. And somebody next to you, two of you. You're not little guys, you're big guys. I see you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, in the back. You two gentlemen together as buddies and friends and way up at the top. Yes, on the front row. I see you in the turquoise sweater vest. Yes, ma'am. I see you right here. Yes, I see you right there, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Just let it go. You're going to have a great life. Cleansed, clean, brand new, fresh and shiny. And a restart today. So many of you. We pray, God, that your Holy Ghost would come upon these people and that you would flood them with your righteousness. We pray, Father, that you would wash away every little iota of sin in their hearts and lives. Their past is gone, and may you just bring brightness to their lives this day forward. Help all of us to be able to stand up and come to you when you call us, and help us to stay on your road and your path and not this world's. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.